Welcome back in, everyone, to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are so excited about the show we have on today. This is going to be so much fun. And more importantly, this is so exciting because today we have the winner of the Soho Playhouse Lighthouse series joining us. Here to talk about the show, we have the playwright and performer, John Collins, and the collaborator and performer, Chesley Mitchell. They're here to speak to us about their piece, It's Not What It Looks Like, playing July 24th through August 10th at Soho Playhouse. And you can get your tickets and more information by visiting sohoplayhouse.com. We are so excited, first of all, that this show won the Lighthouse series. This is so fantastic to hear. But second of all, that we're getting the chance to speak with these amazing artists who create it. So let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and welcome in our guests. John, Chesley, welcome in to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited you both are here. First of all, congratulations. What an incredible job you've done. You won the Lighthouse series. Hooray. Now you can hang up your coats and be done. No.
We're good.
Thank you, everybody.
No, but I mean, this is so amazing. I'm so happy for the two of you. It's not easy. This is not an easy series to compete in number one, but to win. So that's fantastic. And now you're getting just over a two-week run at the Soho Playhouse, which is amazing. So let us start by having the two of you tell us a little bit. Let me try that again. Let us start by having you, John, you're the playwright of the piece. Can you tell us a little bit about what this show, It's Not What It Looks Like, is about?
Sure. So It's Not What It Looks Like. Oh, see, I can't even say it. I'm too nervous. I got this. Let me just take a breath. Okay. Our play, It's Not What It Looks Like, it's kind of a journey two characters take because they are caught red-handed, looking very guilty. But it's not what it looks like. At least that's what they want you to think. So to prove their innocence, they take us back to the beginning of events of how things ended up. And as tensions rise, their narrative and testimony begins to crumble and the truth comes out. And it's really a piece about what it means to be seen as a good person, even if you think you aren't one at all. And that's our little spiel we got. Thank you so much for coming. It's been so great. And we'll see you around. Thank you.
I love that. What a creative show. So let me ask you, John, what inspired you to pen this piece?
So I have a little journal / notes app on my phone where I just, whenever I have an idea or a funny line or something that pops in my brain, I'll write it down. And I had this idea of a little monologue about someone talking about how Tom and Jerry is an incredibly unrealistic TV show, and then goes on some diatribe about why it is so unrealistic. And that's kind of, I think, like the birth of what this show ended up being. So I was kind of sitting on that for a little while. And then Chesney and I, we met in college. We became best friends in college. I was a year older though, so you know, I had a lot more wisdom to impart on her. And I was out in the city a year before she was. And then she eventually moved to the city. And we've always wanted to create something together. And she was generous enough to let me run with this idea. And from there, we kind of met every week. I would come to her with like 10 pages and a bottle of wine, of course.
Maybe two.
But we're very professional, so you know, probably just one. And we kind of bounced the story back and forth, and I would go and write, and eventually it turned into the full show.
Oh. Wow. I really love that. That is fantastic. Well, Chesney, I would love to know, he kind of touched on the idea that he shared the piece with you and you helped collaborate in writing it, you know. Can you elaborate a little bit more on how you came upon the piece and what your initial thoughts were?
Well, John, like you said, sent me that first monologue, and obviously I thought it was brilliant. I can't lie. I don't want to make his head too big, but I liked it. I liked it. And like you said, we were probably getting together to hang out anyway, and we had wanted to create something together for so long. And so obviously once he sent me this and I saw how great it was, we started working on it for a very long time. Wait, sorry, let me get my thoughts together for a second. Yeah, so eventually it became sort of like a hodgepodge of ideas and things that John was writing and putting together, because the Lighthouse series found its way to us only a few months into the writing process, so it really wasn't a completed piece when we entered into the competition. And I would say it's even evolved tenfold since we won the festival. We've done a lot of work since then to adapt the story to make it a little more audience friendly and understandable, because we've done so much work on these characters who have become so true to us that we know the ins and out of them. And so now we've really just worked on making sure that the audience can understand them as much as we do. So that's really kind of been what I feel like my role has been in this whole process for the last year, is going through the script with John and kind of talking about points that I feel like my character isn't fully being understood from the audience, or vice versa. And that's kind of what we've been working on for the last few months to prepare for this run.
That's amazing. I love that. That's such a great process. And I kind of want to snowball off on the ideal process, because I want to ask, you know, you get to produce the full thing now. That's what we're in store for coming up. So what has it been like developing the show from, if I remember right, 10 minutes to like 30 minutes, and now you're doing the full production?
Yeah, I think it was actually, we were very nervous at first, because my friend, she sent us the Playhouse series submission the day before it was due. And like the full play had like kind of been written, and we had done like one reading, and we were still very much like in the process of creating it. But I remember I was on my way to work, and we were like, we need to submit this, you know, Phoebe Waller-Bridge performed here and she's one of my idols. And I was like, well, we gotta do it. It kind of fell into our lap. So like I Frankensteined this like 30 minute version of the show together on the train, and it was crazy. And we always laugh that we can't believe we got in, because we like have read back on that 30-page version. We're like, what the hell was this? This was crazy. But what was really amazing is, at that time, Chesney had the idea to bring on our director, Vincent DeGeorge, who was actually our freshman acting professor in college. And he just has such a specific vision and a really unique visual language and directing and storytelling. And so we had kind of brought him on to help us with an industry reading and kind of help form this, you know, mold of the show that we had. And then he said yes to doing it. And the next day I was like, also, we just got accepted into this festival. We're gonna need you to come and help us. So we like did Zoom rehearsals when he was back at university. It ended up being really amazing. I'm sure Chess will agree that it kind of forced us to strip away all of the meat of the show. And when you get to a 30-minute version and then a 45-minute version for the second round, what is really at the core of this show? What does the show need to stand on in order to survive? And that was a really, really like unexpectedly helpful way to get to the heart of what the message of the show was, which we always knew it was the idea of what it means to be seen as a good person, and how do you deal with grief when the rest of the world has moved on, but you're still stuck there. And it really helped highlight a lot of what that needed to be for us. And then it really helped us go back as we continued to expand the story and plug what we learned from the audience, from the series, and from, you know, anyone that came and supported with us and seen the show into what the play is now. I think it was really unexpectedly helpful way to really flesh out what this show needed to be for us.
Yeah, I completely agree. Honestly, that's exactly what I would have said. Getting to the heart of it made it so much easier for us to understand what the full 90 minutes should be.
Yeah.
That is incredible. Wow.
We were, I think, super lucky that we already had the full story, if not fully fleshed out there, and being able to have it, we're just very lucky that we were able to really explore in such a microcosm of what this show could be.
Yeah. Because we both really obviously loved the idea of the show and these two characters and what we knew it could be. And going through the process of the Lighthouse series and now working on it since then to create this version that you're gonna see up on stage in a week, you know, it really gave us the time to flesh it out, to make it what we always knew it could be. So I'm so thankful that, one, your friend sent us the
Shout out to Caroline
for sending us that the day before it was due, because it has totally changed the trajectory of this show, and it's brought us to where we are today.
Yeah.
Ah.
That's incredible. So, John, I want to ask you, as the playwright and as one of the performers, with this fantastic, fun show, is there a message or thought you hope audiences take away from it?
Yeah. What I am drawn to as a writer and as a performer, because, you know, I have a huge ego and I have to write for myself and write for my friends, of course. But I something I really am drawn to in the arts is the idea of what it means to be viewed by society, which of course sounds so cliche and basic, and any good theater does put a lens on what that is, but specifically being in our mid-20s in the world we're in now and struggling with this idea of constantly being online and constantly being viewed and having to put on a front, all while we have our own problems and dilemmas and traumas in our life, and trying to put on a face that shows like, I'm a good person, I'm a fun person, I'm a kind person. And I really hope audiences will come away from this show feeling challenged with that notion of, what does it mean to be seen as a good person, even if you think you aren't one? And what does it mean to need someone and perhaps feel like you aren't receiving that, or you feel like you can't give that due to whatever is blocking you in your life or your own personal problems? And I hope audiences can walk away realizing that there's a lot more nuance and to all of that, and there should be a lot more grace given, because we live in crazy times and life is already hard enough as is. And I think this play tackles that in a very absurd way, in a very thrilling and suspenseful way and funny way. But I love that this show has taken on the audience almost as a character itself and really pushes them to think about these concepts, which is a long-winded answer. And I'm trying to sound way too smart here, but that's what I got.
I love it though. No. I love it. Well, Chesney, I want to ask my last question for this first part to you, because as we've mentioned, you're a collaborator. You're also the other performer in the show. So who is it you're hoping have access to this piece?
Oh, boy. I honestly would say that I hope that this reaches out to not all ages. I would say it's maybe a little inappropriate for the kiddos, but, you know, young 20s. And then also I would say, you know, people who are our parents' age, I think could totally relate to it a lot, because another topic that our show kind of deals with is how, you know, people deal with grief at different stages of life. And I think that, you know, that's something that you can never really know what age you're going to be when that hits you. And so I think that that is something that really all people can kind of relate to. I would say any and all adults that are interested in the theater.
I also think something you were mentioning too about with this podcast and wanting to make it an inclusive and equitable space, I think something that I'm really excited about and I've been seeing post-COVID is theater, there's been this like urgency in like young artists wanting to create work. Like Chesney has done it, I've done it, so many of our friends are doing it now, and I really hope, I can't say that this is the play that's going to do it, but I hope we can contribute to kind of breaking open the floodgates and opening up the idea of what theater can be to a new generation and our generation, and really making it a really exciting place. Because I think we all have an idea of what theater is, and there's some amazing things and some not so amazing things, but I think we're in at least I'm seeing this churning of what theater can be, and I hope we can bring in new audiences in that sense too.
For the second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit better. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start with a regular first question, which is, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Chesney, can I actually start the second part with you?
Absolutely. Whenever I saw this question, the first person recently who comes to mind that's been a huge creative inspiration for me has got to be Miss Rachel Sennett. I have been loving the work that she's been doing and the material that she's been writing. Shiva Baby and Bottoms were both two of my favorite films that I saw this last year. I think Shiva Baby was a couple of years ago, but I only watched it this last year and I loved it. So yeah, Rachel Sennett has been a huge inspiration of mine most recently, especially when it comes to writing my own projects.
That is a fabulous inspiration there. I love it. Well, John, I would love to know, what or who inspires you?
Well, I am going to be so candid here. I already mentioned her name once. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the love of my life. I am available right now, Phoebe. I'm sorry, Chess, I need to break the news to you. But I am love of my life. She's amazing. I for my birthday 2 years ago, my younger sister got me a Lego portrait of Phoebe Waller-Bridge's face that I have on my desk. Whenever I type and I'm like, get writer's block, or I'm like, I'm never gonna make it in this industry, I look into her Lego eyes and I'm like, I'm gonna be okay. And the fact that she's has performed Fleabag at Soho Playhouse, and like, full circle moment for me. She's like up there. I also love, you know, current playwrights, Jeremy O. Harris, Amy Herzog's amazing, Terrell Alvin McCraney, Brandon Jacobs Jenkins, who did Appropriate. I'm loving all those people. One of my favorites recently, and he was a kind of a big influence on It's Not What It Looks Like, he did a play called Massacre, Sing to Your Children, Jose Rivera. Love him too. And then also Rachel Sennett. And anything Ayo Edebiri does,
yeah,
love of my life as well. I think she's amazing. And actually, this is my chance to say, I'm looking to recast Chesney's role in the play. And if Ayo wants to do it, I'm so ready for her to jump in.
I'd let you do it, Ayo, but...
Well, now we have arrived at my favorite question to ask guests, and I'm so, so excited to hear yours. And that, of course, is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I probably will think of something else, but the first thing that comes to mind is last year, I was working on this, like, a comedic musical theater piece that two of my friends, Tom Eglio and Carl Odmanson, wrote. That was some of the most fun that I have ever had doing theater. It was like an hour and a half show where I would play a colonial woman with huge tits. I would play like, oh God, what was I, a chicken? I was playing all these different things, and the music was so, so stupid and
amazing.
And I invited my mom to fly out and come see it. It was just so much fun because it was just friends doing crazy, ridiculous theater. And I hadn't been on stage since college, since getting here. And so currently that's my favorite theater memory that I have of the most recent years.
I love that. That is amazing.
That
is my kind of show.
Yeah, I was at the Brooklyn Comedy Collective last year.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
John, what about you? Tell us your favorite theater memory.
Well, I guess there's just so many favorite theater memories. The one that is coming to mind, and I think it's because she's right next to me. Chesney and I only did like, what, two shows together? She wasn't even in this one. But I was doing a show called Yeast Nation that the writers of Urine Town, it's part, they did this thematic trilogy, and it's a new musical about the primordial life forms, yeast. And it was just like a big drama, and I was in it. And actually our director, Vincent DeGeorge, was directing it. And Chesney was on the crew, and we had just kind of become really good friends. And it was like, I would come off stage and be like, oh my gosh, that was so much work. And she'd be like, with the mop, being like, I'm having so much fun, blah, blah, goofing around. That night, was it after the last show?
Yeah.
After the last show, we're all like at the cast party having fun, and she comes in with this massive black eye. Because she, what, you picked up a bench and was like, ha, and slipped or whatever. And she just got the gnarliest black eye. And I've been like, gosh, like, no one's going to know, like, what I just went through doing this show. And she comes in, like, in her all, like, crew blacks with a giant black eye. And to this day, that image of her is my favorite image of Chesney.
It was the last thing I had to do on my freshman year tech assignment was move a foot bench back to the tech room. And I was like, oh, and I hit myself in the eye. It was bleeding. around, and it was.
But you still partied with us.
Oh, I made it to the party. Absolutely. I made it to the party.
I love that.
Wow! Wow! What a memory, both of you. What great memories. Those are fantastic. Thank you so much. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline that we might be able to plug for you?
Well, let me tell you this. This play.
This play. This one right here?
For almost 2 years. And it is, you're going to be so blown away by it. It won the same series that that Job one, which is now on performances on Broadway. And if you loved that, you're gonna love this. And we put so much heart and soul into it that you're just gonna want to see it again and again, and we'll do it for years to come.
And we're not saying that we don't have jobs lined up. We're just saying that if we did, we probably couldn't, because this show will probably just keep doing more
runs. It's gonna blow everyone away. And also, the things I'm working on are usually me waking up at 3 a.m. in a cold sweat being like, I have to write this down. So I don't even want to mention that right now. But
I do have one project.
Oh, okay, please.
I just finished the film festival circuit with two of my friends for a movie that we wrote called Booked that is about the musical theater college audition process. We just finished our last film festival circuit. Which was at the Seattle Film Festival, and we won the Audience Choice Awards. So now we're currently in the process of getting it put up for streaming. So hopefully here in the next couple of months, you'll be able to watch our movie online somewhere. If you want to check it out, that's going to be at Booked Movie on Instagram.
You better plug that. You better.
So, but in the future though, I think John's right. I think this play is just going to keep going.
I love that. Well, that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about It's Not What It Looks Like, or about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
You can please go to www.sohoplayhouse.com to get a little more info about this play and get tickets. You can also follow us on Instagram at INWILL play, Inwill, that's the, you know, abbreviation, at Inwill play. And then you can follow me on Instagram, it's the greatest Instagram ever, at John P. Collins.
You can follow me, it is the greatest Instagram ever, at Chesney Mitchell. Also, if you follow Inwill play on Instagram, the ticket link should be in our bio as well.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, John, Chesney, thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with me, for sharing all your wonderful insight. This has been an absolute blast. Oh, I could talk to the two of you for hours and hours and hours. This is so much fun. But thank you so much for your time today, and congratulations on this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My guests today have been the amazing playwright and performer John Collins and the phenomenal collaborator and performer Chesney Mitchell, who joined us today to talk about their show, It's Not What It Looks Like, which is coming off as a winner at the Soho Playhouse Lighthouse Series. They won it all, friends. And now they are producing the full show July 24th through August 10th at Soho Playhouse. You can get your tickets and more information for this great show by visiting sohoplayhouse.com. We also have some contact information for our guests, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But y'all, if you have not gotten excited and motivated to see the show by these two incredible artists' energy and just zest for life, I don't know what else we can do to provide it for you. But you need to get over to sohoplayhouse.com right now. Get your tickets. Come out, join us. We'll make it a Stage Whisper night out of the theater. The show is It's Not What It Looks Like, playing July 24th through August 10th. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a Stage Whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.